If you will make your way to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. We began last time we were together in Bible study, a study that we've entitled Avoiding Satan's Traps. We need to be able to see and identify, and the Scriptures gives us a number of these very specific warnings about things to watch out for. The Bible term is snares, and we've just found a number of verses we're going to look at and passages that deal with snares that we're warned about. A snare is just a trap by any other name, so I've kind of used that for the terminology, but you'll see the word snare in Scripture. We talked about the snare of greed or the snare of materialism, however you want to say it, last time. And if you will look here in Proverbs, and what a great book of wisdom. I hope you love the book of Proverbs. I hope you're familiar with it. I hope you study it. I hope you read it, because it is such a collected body of just God-given, Spirit-inspired, true wisdom. And you really don't have to take a big chunk to find a bunch of wisdom. Just every verse is just kind of packed with something for us. Verses 24 and 25, Proverbs 22. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. I want to start with the end, and then we'll go back to the specifics at the beginning. But I want you to notice how the language reads in the end of verse 25, and set a snare for your soul. This is a self-set trap. If you do this that he's warning about, he says you're the one that's putting the bait and setting the trap, and it's of your own doing. No one else to blame. So this is a particularly interesting and particularly dangerous kind of trap, because you can set it yourself. And here it is. It's the snare of angry men. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways. Well, I want to first of all share with you how to get snared in three very simple steps, okay? If you want to get caught in the trap, this is the way you do it. All right, number one, hang out with angry people. That's really what he's saying there in the text. Make no friendship with an angry man. If you're around angry people, you know what? That's very highly probable, likely, almost always guaranteed going to happen. It's going to rub off on you. We tell our children all the time, watch the crowd you run around with. Watch the friends you make. And we parents sometimes are concerned. We pray over our children about that, because we know, we have learned enough to know that the people they hang around with are going to be influencers of their behavior, their thoughts, their attitudes, all of the above. So he says, don't make friendship with angry people. If there is somebody that is just an angry, angry person, he says, you ought to put a little distance between you and them, if you can. Now, I understand, you know, if you're working a job and the boss and all your coworkers are angry people, I'm not suggesting that you resign and quit tomorrow. Maybe you can start looking for a job and praying about it, perhaps. But even if you can't physically remove yourself, there is some, you need to disengage from those kinds of attitudes. What kinds of things are angry people angry about? Don't say everything, because that's true, but what do people get angry about in your experience?
Not have enough money.
They have more. And by the way, anger is fueled by all these other things like jealousy, envy. I wish I had what they have. I wish they didn't have what I don't have. And that's kind of the jealousy, envy kind of package. What's some other things people get angry about?
Politics,
you think? You think about politics, though, really, there's, if you kind of go a step lower, almost always what floods the anger part of it is the desire to acquire and achieve and keep power. You know, it's And that's what's so troubling from all sides of every spectrum, you know. It's if people would just try to do the right thing rather than trying to be in places of influence and power. But that you are absolutely correct. If you want a good start a good fight with somebody, you can get on those subjects and run with it. What else?
The price of gasoline.
That's hitting too close to home. We're not going to talk about that one. But there's an underlying one there. If you think about it, there's always something underlying the anger. You know, if whether it's I want to control, or I'm envious, or I'm jealous, or I'm frustrated. I don't want that. I don't want gas to be $3.65 a gallon. I want it to be $1.99. I'm frustrated that takes more out of my budget and so forth. Yeah. What else? Yes, a loss. A loss. And especially if someone we love. Absolutely. So he says, don't make friendship. Make no friendship. And if you think about friendship, you think of making a deep, bonding, emotional heart connection with someone that's a friend. He says, don't make these deep connections. It doesn't mean you just write them off. I'm not going to speak to you. You have no part in my life. But he says, this kind of closeness that is going to allow undue influence into your life. He says, be careful of that. Because verse 25, because if you do, you will learn his ways. And it's not that you sit down and, okay, now would you please teach me how to be angry? It's just you pick it up. We do become like the people we spend time with. Now, the end of verse 20, or the beginning of verse 25, we've just mentioned a moment ago, the second step is to learn the ways of angry people. Have you noticed how anger expressed to you, the most natural response is to respond in anger back? Anger breeds anger. Anger produces anger. Have you ever wondered why? You ever think about this? Here's a couple that gets in a fight and someone hurts someone else or someone kills someone else that... At some point they were married, and at some point they walked down an aisle and pledged their undying love to each other. How did they get to this point of this kind of anger out of control? More likely, I can't say everything that goes on, but the anger breeds more anger, and it just escalates and escalates and escalates till it's completely out of control, until somebody does something awful. And sometimes it's not just awful and physically hurting, but saying something or making an ultimatum or whatever. A lot of times, if that anger can be de-escalated, you can get to a place where you can work on the real problem and hopefully find a way to find God's best. But just anger. And by the way, this is very important to understand with children. If children live in an environment of constant anger, you know what that child is going to be like? They're going to be an angry child. If they are frustrated and antagonized, and they met with hostility and ridicule and verbal abuse or neglect, it's no wonder. Doesn't excuse it, doesn't make it right, but we can at least make the connection. It's no wonder they're going to be angry people. So it just happens. It happens. There's something about anger that is infectious. Well, they're angry and they're all stirred up about something, and you hear it, and then I get stirred up about it, and we just have, my wife calls it this, she calls having your antennas up. I know we really don't have antennas, okay, but reading the signals, and we all do this. We look at someone's body language and their demeanor, and have you ever been somewhere? Hope it's not tonight. Where someone up front is really speaking, teaching, whatever, and they're really nervous, and you can tell they're uncomfortable, and they're, in the body language, and the voice rises real high, and before long you're nervous for them, you're just like, I just feel so bad for you, you're squirming and you're shaking, and it our emotions are contagious. So he says, take a step back, lest you get snared. Number three. Oh, I should say before we go to number two, one more thing, sub point about number two. Angry people are always looking for converts. Be careful of that. Angry people who are offended, I don't like the price of this, or I don't like that this happened, or I don't like that she got to do this, or I don't like what you believe, or who the party, or the who you, your candidate, or whatever the issue is. Angry people are always looking to convert someone to their point of view because it validates their anger. It justifies their anger. Well, if you're angry about it too, I feel like I'm a little more justified that we're both angry. And if there's a whole bunch of us that's angry about it, all the much better. We'll just all be angry together.
Misery
does love company, doesn't it? And it is not very good company, though. You might love it, but it's not good company. So just be careful. Angry people are going to try to recruit you to their anger. And you've experienced this. If someone is angry, they're going to, unless they're just angry at you, and then that's another reaction, but they're angry at someone outside of you, they're going to try to, you know, you should feel this way. Don't I'm hurt. It's bad. So that's part of what it means to learn the ways of angry people. And then third, if you hang out with angry people, you adopt the ways and learn the ways of angry people. Number three, just wait around for the damaged soul to take place. Because this is going to damage you. It's the third step. Just wait. If you hang around angry people, you adopt the angry tone and the angry attitudes and thoughts of others that you're around, it's going to start striking and smiting way down deep on the inside of you. The person that's going to damage most is you. It is physical, by the way. If you're angry, your blood pressure goes up. I don't know if you've ever tried this, but my dad has this. They have a name for them. For those of you that are medical people, I'm going to be embarrassed. But what do you call the thing that takes your blood pressure? No wonder I don't know what it is. I can't even pronounce that. He has a blood pressure cuff thing. It's called a what? A sphygmomanometer? That sounds like the beginning of a tongue twister that I don't ever want to say. I thought it was going to be something simple. Thank you for helping me, Melinda, with that. But anyway, because he takes his blood pressure, and he's the doctor threatened to put on blood pressure medicine, and he's always talked him out of it to this point. So he bought one of those you buy at the drugstore. And whenever I'm over there and I have something to do, I put the thing on, and I try. Just, I'm going to relax. I'm going to breathe deeply. And I'm going to try to have the lowest blood pressure as I can get. Now, you can't affect it by miles, but you know what? Just by relaxing and calming down, it seems to me like you can take a point or two off, okay? So we do have a physical reaction if we're angry. And you know that. You felt your face flush and your heartbeat pulse, and maybe you get sweaty and whatever. It's not good for you. Anger is not really, it's not good for you. It's not healthy. I don't know as any of us escape it totally. And also you understand that God gets angry, and it's okay. I would say 99.8% of the time if we get angry, it's not okay. We are told that we can be angry and sin not, but that anger is over things that offend God, not over things that offend me. But most of the time when we're really angry, we're angry over things that offend me. It's about me. Very self-centered. So it's bad for our bodies, but it's even worse for our souls. It will damage us. It'll destroy us. It'll rob us of our joy. It'll rob us of our power. It'll rob us of our influence. It's too high a price to pay to be angry. Well, how do you avoid being snared? I'm going to give you in three easy steps, okay? It's three easy steps here for Bible study tonight. Number one, how to avoid being snared in three steps. Number one, measure your influences. And by that I mean this. Always trying to be figuring out in your relationships, the people you work with, your family, whatever, who is influencing whom. If I'm around somebody and they're influencing me in a very negative, bad way, you need to recognize that and find some way to stop that or change your reaction to it or to have some separation from it as best you can. Sometimes that separation is just mental and thinking differently and, you know, putting some mental space between us and that attitude. But or if I am influencing that person for the good. Maybe you're around someone that's angry and you have the words to say to help calm them down. Or that person, it could be any other situation too, that person just needs some encouragement. They need to be lifted up. As the lady I shared earlier in our prayer time that that shared with me, you know, what that's the loss in her life. And she said, "Pastor, would you share with me some scripture I could read?" And she said, "Anything besides Psalm 23, what would you suggest?" Because I think she'd already been reading Psalm 23. I said, "I want to encourage you to go to John 14 and read through it and find out how Jesus encouraged the disciples in that passage. Because in John 13, he just told them, 'I'm going away.' And later he says, 'And where I'm going, you can't go.' Talk about scaring the disciples to death. This just blew their whole concept of where things were going. He's going to set up the kingdom. He's going to rule. The only thing we're worried about is who's number two and who's number three. You know, it's all good. And suddenly, I'm going away. Their world was shattered." And he talks about, "You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. I'm the way, the truth, and life. I'm going to send you another comforter." And he just encourages them. So I hope that was encouragement to her. So hopefully that was some, so we can influence people in these ways. But if I'm around somebody that's influencing me the wrong way, be very, very careful. Sometimes it's people that you don't even know. Sometimes it's, you know, the guy on the talk show talking on the radio, or it's the editorial guy you read in the newspaper, or woman, whoever it is, or it's the sportscaster that tells you how bad your team is or whatever it is. You know, I mean, it could be anybody. But if that's just being an influence the wrong way, I don't know if this is good or bad, but honestly, I stopped watching news, you know, like, you know, the news summary. Sometimes I'll watch some news, but, you know, like when I grew up, it was, you know, Walter Cronkite and Huntley Brinkley every night. That was the only news you were. You watched the news every night. Mom and Dad would have supper, and you'd watch the local news for a half hour, and then you'd see what was going on in the world. And I don't do that anymore. Now, I keep up on the news. I read the paper. I have ways I get news. I'm not ignorant. But I just, if you do this, this is okay. I definitely don't watch the local news. Because what is the first five stories every time there's local news on? I mean, you can name them. What is it? Who got shot? Who got killed? Who got stabbed?
Drugs.
Yeah, some terrible abuse and crime. Death. It's carnage. Wouldn't you like to turn on the news tonight and have the reporter say, "A plane lands safely at Yeager Airport tonight. All passengers arrived happy and on time." It wouldn't be news, but it was too depressing. I didn't want to have that load of depression right after I ate my dinner, you know. So that's, for me, that was not a good influence. If you go home and I don't even know who the local news guys are because I don't watch it, but whoever you turn on, that's your business. But that's for me. So measure influence. Number two, learn the art of self-control. Self-control ultimately comes from God's work of the Spirit. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit we read over in Galatians. The King James says temperance, that we'd be temperate people, literally self-control, discipline in our behavior. We need to learn the art of self-control. We need to learn to recognize when we're getting angry. I mean, we need to know, we should be in tune. We should know what that feels like and what that is. And at that moment, Lord, give me your help here. Lord, I'm about that far from losing control. I need your special help right now. I need to depend on you. And I'll tell you also that this art of self-control not only ultimately comes from the work of the Spirit and pleading for the work of the Spirit, being submitted to the work of the Spirit, but part of the work of the Spirit, I think, wants to work on our attitudes to help us deal with the things we're offended about. Let's go back to what Melinda shared a moment ago. When I was asking about not the blood pressure thing, because I still can't pronounce it, but I said, "What's some things you're angry about?" She said, "What someone else has or whatever." And I said, "It's jealousy and envy, those sort of things. You know, I'm offended because she has this whatever, and he gets to do that, and I don't. So we're offended by that, And then we become jealous and envious. Where the Spirit needs to bring us into self-control is to learn not to be offended. And just to say, God, if you want to bless that person with that and that person with that, that's your business. You've blessed me with me and what I have or I don't have. Because maybe if you had what they have, maybe you'd do something really bad with it. Maybe it would be really bad for you. I hear people sometimes say, well, if I just win the lottery, I'd be whatever. Have you ever read what happened to people, most of them, when they win the lottery? It like ruins their lives. I'd rather be poor and have a life than have lots of money and have a ruined life. I mean, now, God blesses some people with more and blesses some people with wealth. But, you know, maybe he knows what's best for you and he picks out where you should fit. Thank you, Lord, that I fit here. This is maybe all I can handle or all I should. Or maybe doing without, Lord, is a great opportunity to learn how to trust you. Yes, sir, you had your hand up.
Paul said he learned whatever state he was in to be content.
He did.
So, you know, it's a learning process.
Absolutely, absolutely. And part of that's what the Spirit wants to do. And if we learn what makes us angry and offended, we come back and let the Spirit work on those deeper issues. And sometimes it's, you know, that person that hurts me that I'm trying to get angry at, sometimes you understand that, you know, that's a hurting soul. They're dealing with a lot of stuff. That doesn't excuse their wrong behavior, but on a human level, you say, you know, you can move from anger to people to compassion to people. You really can with God's help. It's not easy, and I certainly am not the poster child for doing all this perfectly. I trust me in that. Number three, love is always the answer. 1 Peter 4:8 says this, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves. Love shall cover the multitude of sins. It is a thick, thick blanket that covers a multitude of sins. Rather than being snared by getting into other people's anger and letting them influence us and learning their ways, and it's just going to set a snare for your soul, we need to just say, okay, I can't have friendship and that kind of closeness with those kind of attitudes. I can't let them influence me. I need to learn self-control and work on those different issues, and deeper issues, I should say. And I need to come to the place where I'm not offended by those sorts of things. Have you ever noticed there's a set list of things that you absolutely are never offended about? And then there's a list of things that they're your hot buttons. Someone pushes that button off. You need to find out what your buttons are and who it is that pushes them. And learn to respond appropriately when they are pushed. So those offenses. But then just love people. But they're nasty and mean and do these things and they're wrong and they hurt. And it's, let love cover it. Let love cover it. Now, part of that, empowered by the Spirit, comes down to a choice. You can choose to love people. You can choose to love people you don't even like. You can choose to love people that aren't really, they don't deserve to be loved. But at the same time, neither do we. But it's called grace, all right? Just remember this. Here's the thing. We need to let love cover it. Otherwise, we can find fault or take offense with anyone and everything. I'm amazed sometimes when someone gets upset or whatever, and I'm amazed that sometimes they, why are they offended about that? That is so small, whatever. But you know what? My list of things that I'm offended about, I need to come back to this love covering. Two basic principles just to kind of summarize. Number one, you don't have to be angry with anybody. You don't have to be. It's not an absolutely must-have, going to happen. There's no way around it, no excuse, no escape. Because he says here, if you learn his ways, you're setting a snare for your soul. These two verses are designed to tell us how to avoid this in some level. And number two, you do have to love everyone. Even love our enemies. Love our enemies. You know what? The history of the Christian church throughout all the ages is not a real good one in this one. I hate to say it, but it's true. You know? You know, I mean, I believe in life, and I believe life begins at conception, and I believe life should be protected. I get that from Scripture, and I believe that. But going and throwing a bomb through the window of an abortion clinic is not the solution to the problem. That's not how we respond. We need to love people that are lost and have that point of view that life is so insignificant. They need Christ is what they need. And they need to know that Christ loves them. Now, that doesn't mean we say abortion is right or it's a choice or whatever. No, I mean, what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. But we treat people from a love basis, not from an anger basis. So we do have to love everyone. All right, let's have prayer and we will let you go out and face the rest of the snowy evening together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this chance that we have to be together and to learn once again one of these snares, one of these traps that, in this case, Lord, we often set for ourselves. So help us to live for you this day and these days as they roll out before us. Help us to let love cover the multitude of sins. Help us to learn those areas where we're offended and deal with them on a deep level. Let the Spirit just root out those pockets in our lives. Help us, Lord, to avoid making friendship with angry people and don't go with a furious man. Because, Lord, we can let others influence us in such wrong ways so easily. So guard us for that. Thank you for this time we've had in your word tonight. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.